walk us through our final pieces here.
Madam Chair, members, we'll work as a team here, I think. Why don't we turn to R20, although it's not seabed, so we don't forget it. I believe there was agreement on Manitoba Hydro language on Section 2 on R20.
There was, and Madam Chair, I would move adoption of Section 2, the House language on page R20.
Okay. Everybody understand? Any questions or concerns about that section? Then all those in favor of adopting Section 2 of the House language on R20, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
And Madam Chair, members, let's move to Article 2 for the seabed, which is on R25. And on the Senate side, the agreement was to take the changes in language starting in Section 2 on 116 down to the changes on 2.27, and then the language on 2.28 to 2.33, the strikeouts and the deletions would not be adopted. It would be the current language. And the effective date would be adopted.
My marked up version of that. Yes. Madam Chair, I would move adoption in the Senate language beginning at with Section 2 on page R25 through lines 2.27 on page R26, and then also line 2.34, effective date.
Any discussion or concerns about that language? Okay, then all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? Language is adopted.
R27 on the House side, 29.34 to 30.3.
Take this. Did we take this? No, we did not take this.
Division 4. R27.
Oh. Right. Yes, Madam Chair, I would move adoption on page R27 of the House language and subdivision 4, lines 29.34 through 30.3.
On that motion, any discussion? Then all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Madam Chair, I'd ask that the A16 amendment be distributed, and you turn to page R29, and we would delete Section 3 on the House side, take some of its language. I'll wait till the amendment's passed out, but then you would move to page R33. And add the adopt Section 6 on the Senate side on R33 with, and then add the language starting on 1.6 on the A16 amendment, which incorporates some of the thoughts in the House Section 3 that we deleted with respect to the commission review of plans by Excel for allocating projects among seabed, non-seabed, and utilities. own projects, so. It's the, so the motion would be the A-10 amendment, or the A-16 amendment, I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, Mr. Fuller, does the language on the amendment on line 1.5 adequately describe Section 6 so that we know that that's what we're amending? Mm-hmm. Or Madam Chair, how about if I just move to adopt the Senate language, Section 6.
Fine. Madam Chair, on page after 1.4, as Chair Hilty said, on our 33, adopt Section 6 will be added to the A-16 amendment on the Senate side.
People understand.
Madam Chair, the language would be 4.4 to 4.11 would be a move for inclusion in the conference committee report, and then added to that language on 4.11 on R33 would be the language on 1.7 to 1.21 of the amendment.
Madam Chair, Madam Chair, I would, first of all, another order of business, move that the committee meet past midnight until the hour of 1 o'clock.
Any discussion on that motion? Then all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Bill Grant.
Pretty good.
Guess we don't count.
So Representative Hilty moves the A-16 amendment, an amendment to Section 6 on the Senate language. Any discussion? Then all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Madam Chair, on the House side, on R33, and there's another section later on, but I'll just go through page by page. The Reliability Administrator, Section 7, was agreed to be included.
And Madam Chair, I believe that in the House language, Section 12 is also related to the issue of the Reliability Administrator, and I would move on page R33, the House language in section 7, and on page R40, the House language in section 12.
Madam Chair, I believe the House has an amendment that they probably want to add to section 7 before we move it.
Okay.
That's correct. Do we?
So how, what's the proper motion here, then, to amend that motion?
Take the amendment first.
Take the amendment first.
All right. Well, then, Madam Chair, I will withdraw that motion and instead move the A42 amendment, which amends section 7 on page R33.
Does everybody have a copy of that amendment?
Thank you.
That's right. Say, I'm say 3618 and 3619.
Steve.
No.
I need a copy.
You don't have a copy of your amendment?
Madam Chair.
Okay, Senator Dibble.
I think this should read, on House language lines 36.18 and 36.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Oops. Say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That needs to be amended to say lines 36.18 and 36.19. And at the end of the paragraph, before the quotation marks, add the word and. Yeah.
And Madam Chair, I would incorporate that into the amendment.
Okay. Any further discussions? Representative Kalin.
Madam Chair, just one more clarification. Is it our intent to strike the term length?
The term.
Okay.
Which?
Excuse me. On 36.18, we are striking the length of term and merely just removing the new language on that line. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Any further discussion? Then on
that's new. We're just
amended amendment, or I guess on the amendment as with the oral additions, the A42 amendment. All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion is adopted. So now we can adopt.
Madam Chair, and I believe
we're going to adopt those sections now.
Adopt the section.
Madam Chair, adopt those amendments.
So, Madam Chair, I would move then on page R33 to adopt the House language of Section 7 as amended by the A42 amendment, and on page R40 to adopt.
36. Yeah, 35.
The House language in section 12.
Section 7 and 7. So on adopting the amended section 7 of the House language and section 12. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Those sections are adopted.
Madam Chair, I think the next one is on R37, and it's the House section 10, and I don't know if you want to do it together. The Senate has section 11 on R39. They both have to do with property rights, and the Senate language is a study, and the House is a statutory amendment, and I believe there's an oral amendment to the House position on R37, section 10.
There is, Madam Chair, on page R37 in the House language, line 39.33, we'd move to strike the word 5 and insert the word 7. And on line 39.5, also strike 5 and insert 7.
So on on the amendments to section 10, or I guess on section 10, incorporating the new language.
And we, Madam Chair, would it be an appropriate motion to simply move the adoption of section 10 with the oral amendment?
With the oral amendments. Any discussion on that? All those in favor, then, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Section 10 as amended is adopted.
And Madam Chair, then I would move adoption of the Senate language on page R39, section 11.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion is, that language is adopted.
Madam Chair, did we do the curtailment payments?
No, we did not.
Where is that?
Curtailment.
We just not gotten to it yet?
It's on R31.
R31, I think I skipped
Section
that.
Section 5.
That's correct. Madam Chair, I would move.
I believe there's an amendment to that, Madam Chair.
Bless you.
Do we have an amendment?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that would be the A43 amendment.
Let's just wait till it gets passed out.
Madam Chair, I would move the A43 amendment to the House language of Section 5 on page R31.
Any discussion? Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see that the commissioner is conducting the study, but the commission is reporting the study.
Should be the commission.
It is that I'm hearing from Mr. Eliff, it should be the commission in line 1.3.
That's correct. Good catch.
So
the chair would modify the amendment by striking the letters ER after commission on line 1.3.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you. I would suggest that we also add to the amendment for submitting the study to the chairs of the Senate and House committees. We also submit the study to the ranking minority members as a courtesy. Not as a courtesy, it's because it's the right thing to do. And it's consistent with our practice in these sorts of requirements.
Would you be willing to incorporate that, Representative Hilty?
Yes, I would, Madam Chair. I believe that would be after the word chairs on line 1.6. Is that correct, Senator Dibble?
I think so, yeah.
31.
Chairs.
And ranking.
And we would insert and ranking minority members.
Okay, then on the amended, on the language with the oral amendments, is there any further discussion? All those in favor of this A43 amendment with the incorporated language, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed? that language is adopted.
And then, Madam Chair, I would move adoption on page R31 of House language in Section 5 as amended.
On that amendment, any discussion? Then all those in favor, please signify by stating aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The language is adopted.
Oh, Madam Chair, on R40, we're not going to do it. On R40, I believe this is the last one, Section 13, and then, there was agreement on that language.
That's correct, Madam Chair. I would move adoption of the House language on page R40, Section 13.
Discussion on that. Senator Coopley, did you have?
Well, Madam Chair, I have an amendment, but I can wait till the end.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion? All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. I think Senator Rosen has an amendment.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. I have the CS-79 amendment.
Do we have that?
Yeah.
You can go pass it on.
Chair Rosen on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, this is an amendment to create a seabed advisory task force that would study and make recommendations to the legislature by January 15th of 08. That would give us some much-needed information at this table. Too bad we didn't have it right now, but it would define seabed qualifying owner. It would give a definition of gross revenues with respect to community benefits. It would give the ability of Minnesota and non-Minnesota financial institutions to provide capital. It would give definition to compliance enforcement, definition to wind easements, the tariffs for community energy, talk about community energy models, project structures, credits, utility compensation for additional work, and types of incentives, compensation, and just other topics. So I think this is something that we, as I said, we definitely could use a little more defining and clarity on what is seabed. We can go from there.
Okay. Any discussion? Senator Dibble.
Madam Chair, maybe council can answer. When they say a recommendation to the legislature, To whom does the report then get deposited? Would it get deposited?
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, I believe it's to the Chief Clerk of the House and the Secretary of the Senate.
And then, Madam Chair, what is the practice then for disseminating the?
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, I believe they disseminate it to the relevant committees.
Oh, sweet. Okay. It's probably fine then. I was just wondering if we should make the report to the similar to that to the past immediately passed amendment to the chairs and ranking minority members of the committees with jurisdiction over energy issues.
Senator Rosen,
yes, Madam Chair, I'm definitely
that.
Amenable to that.
All right,
verbal amendment. So perhaps, Madam Chair, on line 11. Or Mr. Fuller, perhaps you can.
I think Mr. Fuller will help you put
okay,
that
thank
language
you.
Together.
Madam Chair, members, on after the word "the" on 1.10, to the chairs and ranking minority members of the legislative committees with primary jurisdiction over energy issues,
or Madam Chair, I could read off this previous amendment.
And then delete the word legislature. So it would read, the task force shall study and make recommendations to the chairs and ranking minority members of the Senate, we'll say Senate and House committees, with primary jurisdiction over energy policy. Yeah, that'll work.
I'd like to make that motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Any discussions on the CS 79 amendment?
Excuse me, Madam Chair, where are we placing this amendment?
Very good question.
Madam Chair, it was after on page 1, line 10, after the second the.
No, I meant the amendment as a whole in the document.
I'm sorry. I mean, the motion is just to put it in the appropriate place, and it's CBIT. We'll go at the end of the CBIT. Very common just to tell staff to insert it in the proper position in the bill.
Are you agreeable with that? Okay. So on the amendment as amended and with the incorporated new language, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair.
Senator Coogley.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I know we kicked this issue around quite a bit, but Mr. Bull is willing to speak to lines 228 through 230 on page R26. And so I would like to move the Senate language on page R26, lines 2.28 to 2.30, and add after the word and on line 2.30, other local entities. If Mr. Bull would mind coming forward and making a couple comments on that.
No, that's fine.
Okay, Assistant Commissioner Bull.
Madam Chair, thank you. I think the issue is there's quite a bit of consternation amongst the some of the community wind advocates about retaining the existing language as was my earlier recommendation, and we've been kicking around while you guys have been working, we've been talking amongst ourselves. If there was an interest, along with Senator Coobley's recommended change, I might also ask to have the phrase total financial benefits stricken and insert gross revenues from a power purchase agreement. And with those two changes, there may be enough, flexibility in this language that would make this work.
Madam Chair and Mr. Bull, would you mind stating that change again?
Madam Chair, Senator Coobley, yes, I will. It's line 2.29, at the end of that line, on the Senate side, total financial benefits stricken and insert gross revenues from a power purchase agreement. The issue there is that total financial benefits is a much broader universe, and many of the federal production tax credits and some of the other federal tax benefits can't by the definition, the way the flip structures have to work, can't accrue to the local landowners, so that we need to exclude those from the equation or we'll never get to the 51%. So that's the so we're looking at specifically the contract payouts under a power purchase agreement.
Is there discussion on that amendment?
Well,
Representative Hilty?
Madam Chair, just to clarify, is the amendment as suggested to be amended by Mr. Bull what Senator Kubley is proposing to offer at this point?
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Hilty, I think that would work just fine.
I have a question.
Okay. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to Mr. Bull. Now, you were saying take out total financial benefits and put in something gross. But in the House side, you have 51%, and we worked on this for months until this afternoon, which I take issue with, 51% of the total payments made as a direct result of a power purchase agreement. So can you please tell me what the difference is?
Madam Chair, Representative Peterson, sure. The proposed language, it actually is continues the work that we did as we put together the language that's on the House side. It is more flexible though in a number of respects than what's in the House. It's a version very similar to what you've done on the House side, but it adds a significant amount of flexibility toward that. And that, Madam Chair, Representative Peterson, it's the flexibility that is that what's necessary in order to make sure these projects can be financed.
Representative Peterson.
Correct. And I thought that's what I had heard from you and your department for the last 3 months, but then today I find out that I guess you didn't have enough flexibility with what we worked on. So I guess that the people who wanted to have access to this statute had enough oomph to get to the committee in time. They could have maybe had a little easier time and could have been a little more straightforward. I mean, I get that you need to have an equity investor and all those types of things, but... You know, if you're going to send a threatening letterhead out on letterhead and say you're going to take your money out of Minnesota and you don't have any reason why and you don't propose any language, but then I find out a department might be working for them on the last day of the conference, it's a little disingenuous, Mr. Bull. So I'm hoping that these three lines can at least be adopted because I think we gave up quite a bit here in this section. I would really appreciate if people could support Senator Kubley's motion with Mr. Bull's amendment.
Okay, so Senator Kubley's motion is to adopt lines 2.28 to 2.30. And I will get to the changes in the language, but should we then adopt also 2.31 to 2.33 just to finish that statute? I mean, it's already in there anyways. With striking on 2.29, total financial benefits, and inserting gross revenues, and
from a power purchase agreement, Madam Chair. Gross revenues from a power purchase agreement.
Madam Chair, Senator Kubley, so then that clause 2 on 2.28 would read, demonstrates that at least 51% of the gross revenues from a power purchase agreement over the life of the project will flow to qualifying owners and other entities?
Other local entities.
Other local entities?
That's correct.
And local relates to what?
Mr. Bull.
Assistant Commissioner.
Madam Chair, local relates to local. The way we would implement and interpret that would be looking at such things as what's listed on the House side, such as local taxes paid, service and maintenance payments, if it's done within with a local contractor, those kinds of local payments, so that there would be some other retention of benefits within the community of the contract payouts.
And just to make it grammatically correct, it should say and other local entities, semicolon and.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any further questions or comments about that? Representative Peterson, you are okay with this language then?
Okay. Madam Chair, I have no objection to the amendment.
Okay, then on Senator Kubley's motion, as amended, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? That motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, Mr. Fuller, could you compare the language that was adopted with the 7-year piece on contracts with the language that was in the amendment that you drafted for me? I mean, how does that compare? Is there a difference between those two pieces of language?
Madam Chair, Senator Kubley, there is a different. They're different.
Okay.
They're substantially different.
I think, would you mind doing that? Are we going to continue, Madam Chair, or are we going to close for the evening?
Well, Senator Kubley, the agreement that we made is that if we adopted this final global agreement, that would close the chapter on seabed language.
All
and
right.
We already have violated it, and that's why I've asked Representative Peterson if he objected to your language.
All right.
Madam Chair, I had another amendment.
That's right. We did agree to you to offering your last amendment.
And, Madam Chair, we also need some...
Well, we did not.
No, we didn't do it. I didn't really do it.
I believe so.
Either I skipped over or I didn't mark it. But
no, we didn't. Madam Chair, Mr. Fuller and I were just discussing an oversight on the list that we ran through of adopting language. I neglected to move adoption on page R30. Of the House language in Section 4, which I would do at this time.
It's also extends to 31.
Who's biting their nails out there? Any discussion about
maybe
this?
Everybody.
Any discussion about adopting Section 4 of the House language on R30? All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We do have an oversight here. We had Senator Rosen had talked about offering an amendment. I had mentioned it to Representative Hilty earlier in the evening. We did not talk about it at the end, so I'm not sure what your wishes are here.
Madam Chair, I'm going to put another kink into it. The nuclear energy study, we never really did anything about, and I was hoping that we could at least talk about that or be
well,
fine.
Well, that isn't a part of the seabed language.
Okay. Well, either was Manitoba, though.
No, it was not.
So I hope some point we can address that.
What is the Senator Rosen is addressing your provision in the energy efficiency section that calls for a study on nuclear energy. She also has, though, an amendment that calls for a
community participation project. And I think it'd be worthy to talk about both of them, whether we deal with the community participation project this year or next year. I think we do need to talk about it, and along with the nuclear energy study, too.
Do you have a preference?
Well,
are there objections? Representative Hilty.
Madam Chair, I don't believe we're going to finish the entire bill tonight. We did have some discussion about the nuclear energy study and had a discussion with both Mr. Fuller and Mr. Eliff in terms of finding some language that maybe would address some of the cost concerns in the study. And I would suggest that we give them the opportunity to do that. And certainly I'm willing to take up the discussion of that and hopefully with an amendment that would be acceptable to members before we wrap up the bill.
Chair, Representative Hilty, I think that would be just wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. As to the other amendment.
Madam Chair, has that amendment been distributed?
No, it has not.
Madam Chair, it's a CS-78 amendment.
Would members be willing to look at it?
No.
Madam Chair,
what is that?
Well, Madam Chair,
Senator
this
Rosen,
are we going to distribute it?
Yeah, would you distribute it?
This is basically.
Excuse me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to clarify for the other members on this committee, Trimont is a large wind farm or project, and it's in my district. I have a lot of wind in my district in southern Minnesota. And basically this language would include other types of projects into the seabed clarification, like Trimont's revenue participation model and also the John Deere's flip revenue participation hybrid model. This is something that we are at some point going to have to address because the whole wind industry is changing, and we are going to have to accommodate projects, creative projects with financing or whatever at some point. So they call this the C-part project or whatever, but it would provide total financial benefits not less than 9% of the gross annual revenues, It would exempt them from a certificate of need. However, it must get a resolution of support adopted by the county board of each county where the project is to be located. And as I said, this is a very important piece of legislation for wind expansion that has been occurring in my district. So, Madam Chair, I'm not sure Shep Harris, Mr. Shep Harris is here, if anybody has any questions about further details of this, but
are there questions?
And there is
about
actually,
this?
Madam Chair, it has been agreed upon by representatives of the seabed developers, that the wind farms themselves, PPM Energy, and the Department of Commerce, and John Deere also supports this language.
Discussion. Representative Peterson.
Yeah, I'm going to speak against this amendment, and for reasons I think Senator Rosen made herself, is that it's a dynamic market and it's changing, and that it needs to be addressed at some time. I do not think this is the time, because I've seen percentages and amendments and language ranging from 5%, I believe, to 11%. And who says that 9% is the right percent? We just went through a lot of iterations as to why 33% or 35% was not acceptable for what seabed definition should be. And you were there. And it wasn't discussed that this was going to be part of the discussions tonight. And I just don't think this is these projects can occur without this language, without access to this bill. They can move ahead on their own. The tax credit is on. The renewable energy standard has been passed. If over the interim, with the federal production tax credit on, and if not enough seabed goes under contract, then I would say that we could work some of these concepts into. But to just dump them in because we feel the need to include everybody, because it seems like it's the time of year to include everybody, that we can just at some point stop working and not just keep putting things into a bill because we feel like we should. And I don't think 5 to 11% that I've seen tells me there's any market equilibrium that would justify this going into the bill.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Representative Pearson, Senator Prettner-Solon and Representative Hilty did see this language earlier. So perhaps it was not at the negotiation table earlier. However, we have been dealing with this in our committee, and I made a commitment to deal with it at this committee if I got onto this committee. So this was part of the deal that I made several months ago. I do believe that this type of language does give all landowners that have these projects an option. When you say 9%, where did this come from? This was a deal that was made by all those entities, the industry, the Department of Commerce, and, you know, who else? The industry, the Department of Commerce, and the seabed developers, the wind farms, the PPM Energy, and the department. So I do think that 9% is a good number, because 5% is going to be staying. Goes to the local landowners, and 4% goes to local governments for taxes and payments. I have my little cheat sheet here. But to say that this was just dropped, that's not the truth. This is something that we are going to have to deal with. Because these investors, and they are local landowners, are getting much more creative, and they do need more options. And this, I believe, deals with that.
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Coogley.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess, you know, I would speak against this amendment on the basis that I guess I don't feel that it's consistent with seabed projects. Seabed projects really do, you know, because of the way the local ownership piece is set up for seabed projects, it returns a much greater economic value, and those dollars turn over in the community many more times. This project that Senator Rosen is talking about, it can be developed on its own. I don't see any advantage to including it in seabed language, but it is possible to develop it. We're not excluding another alternative by rejecting putting it in the seabed section. It just seems to me that since it is possible already, and since it doesn't really meet the criteria for seabed projects, that we'd be better off without it. And I think that the state of Minnesota would be better off if they adopted projects that have local ownership, not just landowners who are leasing their land to other projects from outside the community, much less outside the state.
I think the difference here is this would not be a part of the seabed statute, that this would actually be its own section, would have a separate designation for those that don't fit the seabed language. It would be community participation project rather than a seabed project.
Well, maybe I'm not understanding it then, Madam Chair and Senator Rosen. I guess, you know, to me there's no advantage to the group to put it in. You know, what are they gaining by putting it in?
Well, Madam Chair,
I think
given the lateness of the hours and what we have remaining to do, this is, to my perspective, clearly a more complex issue than we're capable of dealing with the time constraints that we have. I don't think anyone would feel comfortable, except perhaps Senator Rosen, in adopting this amendment, without the ability to take testimony and to have the opportunity to discuss this. We simply don't have that at this time. Senator Rosen, I think that the amendment actually would fit within what is being asked for in the study that your previous amendment suggested, and maybe that would be a better place for it.
Madam Chair, Representative Hilty, I do think
Rosen.
You're right, absolutely, too. And I believe once we have that study and some more information, we will find a spot for this. It's coming, this different type of investment. It is coming because it's quite evident. It's down in my district. So we need to accommodate that also.
Representative Peterson.
Representative, I would say it's here, not coming. And it doesn't need to necessarily be seabed, nor does it need to be in a seabed bill. It's already here, and it seems to have economic advantages and such that, I just don't think they've made it. You know, you might have 9% right now, but, you know, I saw five, like not nine split up, but five total earlier, you know, early on. And I just, you know, it's not coming. It's already here. It's around. You have a project in your district, yes, I know, but it's all over right now. And we have if we don't have some sort of statement in Minnesota, then maybe other states don't care how they cut up their wind rights. We have a history of caring and cooperation and such in rural Minnesota, at least the part I'm from, that, you know, if you're just going to let it out, well, we're going to be missing an opportunity. So I don't think it's already here. It's not coming.
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't support adopting the amendment, but do think we have to look at this over the interim and next session. Just to speak briefly about one of the things that I think we need to address. Anytime I see an exemption from certificate of need, it makes me very nervous. From my own community experience, where we spent 7 years and probably several million dollars fighting a transmission line that was really wonderfully designed to get under the certificate of need radar. And we were the first citizens group in the history of the country, as we understand it, to win one of these transmission line fights, just based on need. And so I believe very strongly in the certificate of need statute and just think we need to be very cautious about doing that, so about exempting out. And so as the comes up for discussion during interim and next session. I think we have to look very carefully at how we do that and what, under what purposes, what's the public policy forwarded by doing so. So just caution and you know,
oh, that's right.
Gentle nudge. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Demo.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Chair and Whitty. I sense the general drift of where this is going, and that's fine, but I think it's a good conversation. I'm glad we're having it at least. And I echo Representative Kalin's caution about the exemption from the certificate of need, and think this might be a better amendment without that, because it kind of sends up some flags and raises some hackles. But you know, I do think we've adopted some things this evening that, you know, kind of, you know, they're complicated. We adopted them anyways on an interim basis and sent the bulk of the subject to study with the intent of coming back to see if what we adopted this evening makes sense with the idea that we might change it. So the 9% or whatever, you know, it's described in these projects may or may not make sense to Representative Peterson's earlier comments. But the value I see in this amendment, you know, with, of course, the caveat about the certificate of need issue, is that it's not seabed. It says that utilities, when they're looking at projects, renewable energy projects, other than the seabed type projects, we're looking at these kind of projects that have equity participation from you know, perhaps folks that are well capitalized, so that it fits a niche where that niche needs to be filled, but has the community benefit that we're seeking. So it's not some of the other projects we're hearing about, where we have no idea what the local community benefit is. We've got jillions of dollars coming in from Portugal or other places. We have no idea how much of that money is going to stay locally. This has some parameters and some specifications around that. So, of course, it's here, Representative Peterson, and this amendment is in recognition of that fact and is seeking to maximize in these particular types of projects that utilities are motivated to take a look at them because they have a local benefit, which I think we all around this table support and agree with.
He actually started drafting some stuff a little bit to talk about this.
Very well said. Senator Rosen, what's your wish?
Madam Chair, I'm going to lay this amendment over, please.
Thank you. I think that's about as far as we can go tonight. and so we will be adjourning. And Representative Hilty, what's your wish about when we will resume tomorrow?
Well, Madam Chair, if I understood our earlier conversation correctly, 10:30 is about as early as can work for you with your schedule.
10:30.
Unless you want to do 7:30 or 8. I'm only free till 9 o'clock. I have meetings.
Let's try for 10:30.
Smart man. Okay. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair,
Senator Dibble.
Can we leave our materials here, or?
Oh, sorry.
We have this room.
No.
No, we don't have this room tomorrow.
Stick it all in the folder.
No, I'm afraid you're going to have to take them with you. We don't know where we'll be meeting tomorrow. We'll let you know. Meeting's at 10:30 tomorrow.
Plain route.